So how is the treatment of our kids at the Seder different from all other nights? At the Seder, you're going to ask Manishtana, and now on the second day of Nisan, I'm asking you, Manishtana, our teaching of our kids at the Seder versus all year long. Let's begin with the first aspect tonight. I'll give the answer to this. Gentlemen, I want to quote to you a Mishnah, subsequently codified in the Code of Jewish Law, and the Rambam, and many others. On the night of the Seder, you want to stimulate your children. And therefore, says the Gemara, and subsequently the Rambam and others, you shall give them kalayot ve'egozim. As a stimulation for them to be involved in the Seder, give them nuts and raisins. Now, I don't know about your kids, but I have one daughter that loves raisins. My other son can't stand raisins, and them together don't like nuts. So if I would be writing this today, I'd probably rewrite it by saying, on the night of the Seder, you have to stimulate your children, give them treats, which means each person, based on their digestive system, for some it's the lollipop, for others it's the candy, and for a third it's the toffee. Gentlemen, how is this different from all other nights? What Jewish mother, in her right mind, would give her kids treats, finish the sentence,
before
dinner? Every Jewish mother walks around town, every yenta, and says, what? Don't eat before dinner. Don't eat junk before dinner. Now, in parentheses, I'll add that there's many Jewish mothers, I don't know if you believe this, Bill, that give their kids treats and junk all day. Why? It's good for their relationship. You know what? They say, thanks, Mommy, you put on a big smile. Mom feels great. Kid feels great. It's good for their relationship. Ah. In case you didn't get it, I'm saying that cynically. Close the parentheses. Gentlemen, the night of the Seder, you're giving your kids treats before dinner. Mom's been in the kitchen for days, creating the knedelach and the chicken soup and the chicken, and the matzahs come in. And once upon a time, I remind you, Ray, they used to bake their own matzahs. You didn't go to Manischewitz or Stripes or any of the other Yehuda companies that are out there. You baked it in your own kitchen. Endless work went into the Seder. And comes the night of the Seder, what does Jewish law say to do? Give them treats. When? Before dinner. That's change number one from all year long.
That's going to have a negative effect on making them hyper.
Oh yeah. Obviously you got to be careful which treats you give them, says Bill. You give them sugar-based treats, and they are not going to be sitting at that Seder. On the other hand, Bill, you can't put them to sleep. They'll be hyper. And that's a very important point. So what is this? Night of the Seder, we give them treats before dinner? Doesn't make sense? And this is not a trick from a modern methodological book on pedagogic teaching. This is in the Gemara, subsequently coded. This is not something from left field. So how are we supposed to understand it in light of the fact that throughout the year we always say, don't eat anything before dinner, you might ruin dinner. Now I'm going to add a question to that, and I'm not going to give you an answer so fast, I don't think it's coming. But I'm going to add a question to that to make it a little sharper. Tonight you go home, you want to eat dinner. You fulfilling the mitzvah of eating dinner tonight? Who thinks that we are? Thank you. You go home on the night of the Seder and you eat dinner. Are you fulfilling the mitzvah? Can you please tell me which mitzvah? No? No sacrifice, not even sacrificing dinner. No, what's the mitzvah? It's called Simcha Yom Tov, being happy and Yom Tov. Supposed to be happy. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So when you eat meat and wine on the night of the Seder, you are fulfilling a mitzvah of V'samachta b'chayecha. You shall be happy on your holiday. Says the Gemara, the way to fulfill this mitzvah is, as Jonathan said, with sacrificial meat. Today we don't have sacrifices. So says the Tosfot, anything we do today is rabbinic. So at the Tosfot level, all you're doing is fulfilling a rabbinic commandment of being happy. The Rambam Maimonides says, you're fulfilling a biblical commandment of being happy. So think about this. You're going home night of Seder. You're going to eat that wonderful meal. Within the meal, hopefully you'll have meat and wine. And guess what you're going to be fulfilling? A mitzvah. What a great mitzvah to fulfill. It's easy. It's in our best interest. We want to do it. And by the way, God also said to do it. This is good, right, Jonathan? A good deal on our money. So on that night, You go home, you're eating dinner, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Tonight you go home, it's a regular Wednesday night, you're not fulfilling any mitzvah. Right? So gentlemen, are we educating our children not to eat dinner on a holiday? We should be educating them to starve so that they eat dinner with an appetite. But what are we doing instead? We're giving them treats and stimulating them, so by the time dinner comes, I doubt after the chocolate and the macaroons, especially with the chocolate chips inside, they're going to have any appetite left. Isn't that a flaw in their education? Think about it. What we did until now is to try to establish why is this night different from all other nights? Now Michael's going to say, you didn't make up that question, Rabbi. I know I didn't. But we tried to introduce it from a little different vantage point. How is the education of our children on this night different from all other nights? We pointed out that every other day of the week, no Jewish mother would tell their kids, here, take some treats before dinner. Here, eat some junk food before dinner. Right? All your mother tells you is, don't eat any junk food before dinner. Night of the Seder, law, you're supposed to encourage your kids to ask questions. And every time they ask a good question, you give them a treat. Different from all other nights. Now we'll go to difference number two. And difference number two is even more fascinating than difference number one. Gentlemen, you're teaching Torah to the children. You're a Hebrew school teacher. Kid comes into the class, he's not paying attention. What do you do?
You yell at him.
Whack him in the face with the ruler. Right. You beat the living daylights out of him. And Reverend Greenstein wasn't totally off. There's a famous Mishnah in Tractate Makot that talks about the following case. A teacher's in the school, he's trying to teach the kid, the kid's not listening, so he whacks him. And he whacks him a little harder. So eventually he kills the kid. Is that guy liable for murder? Because he began, you could say it was permissible. He whacked the kid to pay attention. The problem was he went too far. So where is the too far boundary over there? So, bottom line is, a kid's not paying attention, you force him to pay attention. Right? That's what the bottom line is. Throughout the year, a kid is, you want to teach him, he doesn't want to listen, you force him to learn Torah. In some way or another. You can do it through treats, you can do it through other means, you can do it through various different techniques. But the bottom line is, you're forcing him. What are you doing tonight of the Seder? You encourage to do what?
Relax.
No.
Participate.
No, not take it easy. And I'll tell you why. I'll get to you in a moment. But the reason is, there's a famous rabbi in the Talmud, the Mishnah already, Rabbi Akiva. It says about Rabbi Akiva, he had a school system that he didn't close. Not in the summer, not for Christmas break, not for March break. I guess Christmas break was no question. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Akiva never closed the school except for 2 days a year. Can anyone guess which 2 days a year he closed?
Yom Kippur.
No, I'm talking about Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So outside of Shabbos and Yom Kippur, when did he close school? Maybe they learned on Shabbos too. Maybe they came to school on Shabbos, so they didn't write. There was 2 days a year he said, go home. Which was they? Erev Yom Kippur, in order to get all the fathers to go home to encourage the little kids to eat, and the whole family should eat before the fast, right? That's existential, that's life endangering. There was a second time, anyone know which day? Erev Pesach. Why?
Oh, very common
Seder. Huh? How do they get ready for the Seder, keep that thought? No, Medav Shluch. Are you going to get ready for the Seder? Seder's going to start at 8:15. Until you get through the Haggadah with all the techniques and the questions and the answers, eventually you get to the gefilte fish. By the time the chicken soup is served, they're verschluft. You don't want that to happen. So this Rabbi Akiva would close the yeshiva, say, all the fathers, go home, get all your kids to go to sleep, take a good nap. Tonight's the main event. They have to be awake. So absolutely, we say not chill out. We wanted to participate, and therefore we encourage them to sleep as much as possible on the eve of Pesach. And if I had the power in Halifax, I would make a decree, all Jewish children should not go to school on the eve of Pesach, and all they should do all day is sleep. But I'm still powerless on that day. Now, what you said is participate. Right, Shelley? How do we make them participate? What's the methodological tool? What's the pedagogic tool? I'd say paying them is all year long. You know, when the kids used to go, you're right. When the kids, you're right to an extent. When the kids used to go,
that's the reason the kids enjoy it.
When the kids used to go to cheder for the first time, so they wanted them to understand Torah is enjoyable. I mean, but by the second day, Rebbein Griesbein smacked them. But the first day, they were nice to them. So what did they do? They carry the kid to cheder and they sit him down in front of a chumash. And the Rebbe would say, "Come to my lap." He sits on the lap. He opens up the chumash and he pours honey or candies all over the chumash. And he says, "Here, start reading. What's that? That's an olive. Say olive. Olive. Great. Take the candy, eat it. The kid takes the candy and eat it. Now what's that? That's a bet. Say bet, bet. Take the candy and eat it. Now, if you have chumashes, they pour the honey right on the chumash. And every time he said the right letter, he'd lick it from the chumash. Right? So what would we do today? This is already, you know, ancient, though they're still done today. I have videos on the internet to prove it. What do we do today? What Charlie says, here, just take $50, go buy what you want, get out of here. Right? That's what parents do today, unfortunately. But, here, take some $50, go buy what you want, enjoy yourself, have a good night. Alright. Alright, maybe not $50. Gentlemen, what do we do in the night of the Seder? We encourage them to do what?
Purpose.
How?
Ask questions.
Yeah. Ask questions. We encourage our kids not just to participate in other ways, but to ask questions. As a matter of fact, there are various parts of the Seder that we do for one reason, and one reason alone. What's the reason? To get the kids to ask why you're doing that. Right? The other day a kid asked me, why are you wearing a gray tie? And the answer I gave him was, so you can ask me why I'm wearing a gray tie. Come to the Seder night, right? What do? We dip, we put the karpas on the table. And everyone's baffled. Why is this karpas idea? You take a vegetable before the meal. And what's the answer? Simple answer. The kid should ask. Every Friday night you say Kiddush, you say Kiddush on the Seder night. Every Friday night you wash on the Seder night. Then, instead of serving challah or matzah, what do you serve? On a beautiful silver platter, right? Instead of seeing the challah with the knife, here, take a cucumber. John, a banana. Billy, a piece of parsley. Joey, a cibole. Nathan, a potato. This is what the kid's going to look and say, what are you doing this for? Where's the matzah? What's the answer? Thank you, my child. You asked the right question. You know what the answer is? We did it so you can ask. Now keep it up. Then we start the Haggadah, Manishtana. All the kids ask the Manishtana. Very beautiful. And then we begin throughout the Haggadah. We want the kids to ask questions. To question every step of the way. I made already a deal with my kids. We can't tell mommy. That any time they ask a question on the Seder nights, they get a treat. The treat's going to be under my seat, so that mommy doesn't see it. I'm going to hand it to them under the table. Because my wife, you know, is a good Jewish mother. You give them treats before dinner, worked so hard to prepare it. That's what the halacha is. So we pointed out two unique aspects of this night with regard to educating children. Number one, you give them treats before dinner. And number two, you encourage them to ask questions rather than just force them to listen to you. Now, what is the correlation between these two, and why do we do it differently on the night of the Seder than from all years long? God will... Let's just sum up what we did until now. We posed two questions as to why is the education of our children on the Seder night different from all year. The first aspect is obvious. The halacha is supposed to encourage your kids to be part of the Seder by giving them treats. And no Jewish mother would be crazy enough to give her kids treats before dinner. That's aspect number one. Aspect number two is that throughout the year, you have to teach the kids Torah. If they don't want to learn, you make them learn. You force them to learn in various different ways. Night of the Seder? You go ahead and you try to make them ask questions. Say here, encourage them to come to the table and ask questions about Judaism, as opposed to forcing them to learn. So basically sitting them down in a chair and saying to them, hey, this is what it is, learn it, and have a good night. So why is it that this night is indeed different from all other nights in regard to educating children? The first answer could be very simple. It isn't different. The fact that we do it different all year may be okay, may be permissible, but not encourageable. The way to educate children, the ideal, is just like on the night of the Seder. Stimulate them to come to you versus forcing them to be there. So the Seder is a model, and I would say the model, of educating children throughout the year. Okay? So the fact that all year we force them to come to Hebrew school, incorrect. You got to stimulate them to come. The fact that all year we do this, that, or the other thing, like not giving them treats before dinner, incorrect. If the treats are going to make them learn better, then give them treats before dinner, even if they ruin their dinner. That's one way of looking at it. But that's not the traditional way of looking at it, right? Because if this night is different from all other nights, then obviously we have to make it different from all other nights, right? We are going to continue to ask Manishtana, and obviously what we're doing on the Seder night is different from all other nights. So what is the crux of the difference and why? So we pointed out the two differences, and I want to now offer a way of understanding it. What is the night of the Seder for you? Is it a night of creativity, or is it a night of surrender? Creativity means it's really up to you. And surrender means God said so, and we do it. What for you is the Pesach holiday in general and the Seder night in particular? More creative or more surrender? You say creative. Why?
Well, you're dictated or mandated that there's certain things that a Seder has to have and has to do at certain times and all that. So that you have no choice in.
Mm-hmm.
But in some respects, so with timing and amounts and all and product, you don't have a choice. But with all the delivery, I think you have a huge choice of variance. Some people do it English, some people do it Hebrew, some people do this first, some people do that first.
So what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is that it's both. The fact is that you have to drink this X amount of wine and Y amount of, and eat Y amount of matzah and recline this way and do this that way, that surrenders to the divine will whether we understand it or not. But the actual story of the emergence from Egypt, because Victor, that's the most creative thing in the world. You can decide to do it by virtue of plays. Question and answer. Various different components are used there, and it's the most creative night of the year. Whereas on Friday night, all you have to do is make kiddush, specific text, specific wine, specific cup. Night of the Seder, you've got this new mitzvah, telling the story of leaving Egypt, which is really up to you. So that's Victor, that's basically both. Yes, Joey.
Okay, I want to build on what Victor was saying.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about Passover and Seder night is it's a complete story. It fits within the evening. It starts, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end, and the whole thing comes together. So many of our other traditions, it's dragged out forever and ever, 365 days and just endless. Yes.
For example.
But I mean, it's a story that you can sit down for the evening and enjoy with your kids, and it all makes sense.
Well, I happen to agree that the night of the Seder is very formatted, especially the story. There's a beginning, there's an end, there's a middle. But the actual mitzvah of remembering leaving Egypt we do every day, as you know, in the Shema in the morning and evening. So I can't say it's only limited to Pesach. I'd say it's elaborated on Pesach, right? It's embellished, if you will, on Pesach. But it's spoken about every single day. There's no question about that, building on what Victor said. But if you think about it, the night of the Seder, there's one component that's missing from the meal. What is it? Component that we have on every Jewish holiday. Challah. Bread. And, you know, I know we all look forward to eating that first bite of matzah and to right away comment, as every Jewish home does, well, the matzah is good this year, the matzah is a little stale this year, the matzah is not so good this year, Pesach is early, Pesach is late. Of course, we all have to do that night of the Seder because that's the Jewish custom, to complain, or to complain a little less. But matzah is not challah. And a good, sweet challah with raisins is a much better component at a holiday meal than a stale cracker. So I always say that the night of the Seder, though there is creativity there, as you pointed out, there's a lot of surrender as well. Maybe even more than a Yom Kippur meal or a Shabbos meal. Because the Shabbos meal, other than the Kiddush, doesn't have to be challah. It could be pitas. It could be bagels. It could be any double loaf. And the menu? Is there any sort of components that must be in the menu on Shabbos?
Fish, no?
What?
Fish.
No. Not necessarily. I love children, but I can't say. Fish, according to Hasidic tradition, you should have fish at every meal. But in general, there is no obligation. It's really up to your creative mind. Yuntiv, there might be an obligation to dafka eat meat and drink wine. Might be. As we once pointed out, that it might be the way to enjoy, excuse me, to be happy on the holidays. But maybe not. So there's a lot of creativity. Come tonight of the Seder, what do we got instead? What do we got instead? You have to dip this. You have to dip it in that. You have to have a plate out. The plate can't have on it a tuna casserole and together with, I don't know what, a veal parmesan. You have to have on it what? You have to have the egg and the shake bone, the this, the that. It's all formatted for you. So all you're doing is basically saying, on night of the Seder, more than anything, yes, sir. No problem. Here we are. We're doing it. We're surrendering to the format. It's there for you. It's all completely there. You open up the Manischewitz, it's a gaga, or if you will, you open up the Maxwell's, and it tells you what to put on the plate, what to eat, when to eat it, how much of it to eat. Everything is there. There's a lot of surrender. So we said earlier that the night of the Seder, basically God tells you what to eat, when to eat it, and how much to eat. Let's think about this. The night of Shabbat, as we pointed out, you can serve anything you want that brings you, personally, to enjoyment. It could be chicken, it could be meat, it could be vegetarian tofu. Guess it depends who you are, right? I know why you're smiling, Sherry. Because you know where I stand on this. But I cannot sign on the dotted line that this is the way to keep Shabbos. When it comes to the enjoyment of Shabbos and what you serve at the meals, it's up to each person to be creative and to serve the meal that brings them to enjoyment. Same thing to an extent on Yom Tov, though we said meat and wine might be obligatory on Yom Tov. But when it comes to the night of the Seder, everything is set for you. This is what you have to eat. This is how you're supposed to do it. To the extent, you ready for this? And there's reasons for this. The Gemara brings the recipe for charoset. What you're supposed to put into charoset. Now there's reasons for why the Gemara brings a recipe. In general, the Gemara is not going to discuss how to make chicken. But, if you see, that's trying to connote something. Everything at the Seder is set for you. So a kid comes to the Seder and sees that you have to eat this amount of matzah. These amounts of wine he has to consume. Or grape juice. This is what he has to dip. And this is where he has to dip it. It's not only what you have to eat, but, help me out, when you have to eat it. So on a regular night, let's just say tonight, maybe your wives are going to be nice to you and they'll serve you a three-course dinner. What are they going to start with?
Soup.
The soup. What are they going to have as the in-between kind of a meal? They'll have an appetizer. And then they'll have the main dish. Well, perhaps the wives want to make a fool of you, a fool of themselves, whatever. They'll serve the soup last. Did you ever hear of this? Serving the soup last? I did. Soup fills you up, so they serve the soup at the end of the meal, because it fills you up at the beginning of the meal. You won't eat the main dish. I forgot who did that. I once was at a house for Shabbos, and they did exactly that. They served the soup at the end of the meal. It was very interesting, because I can never eat chicken soup Friday night, because everything else fills me up. I can't eat chicken soup already. There's no room left. So this was interesting. I thought about it afterwards. That's up to you. What happens on the night of the Seder? There's a schedule, exactly. You have to start with Kiddush. Then you got to dip. Then you got to say the story. Then you got to wash your hands. Then you got to eat matzah. When you're finally plotting and plotting, you're ready to do all this. Can you eat the meal? No, do the maror. Then eat a sandwich with the maror and the matzah together. And only then you want to eat the meal. We have this Ashkenazic custom to eat what before the meal? Hard-boiled egg. Then, only then can you serve your innovative, creative meal. The meal's over, you bench, finished. When I was in the army one time conducting a Seder for soldiers, it was very interesting. As soon as the meal was over, they all wished me a good junta and they left. I guess no one told them there's two more parts of the Seder. So, they all thanked me very much for my services and goodbye. Okay! So, first time in my life I finished the Seder on my own with the chefs. They were washing dishes, we were finishing the Seder together. They loved it, I loved it. Challah with clanking dishes in the background. A very interesting challah. But gentlemen, the Seder is all formatted for you. So a kid comes to the Seder, you know he's going to walk away with? The following notion. Judaism is about surrendering to God's will. And that's it. To say, yes, Master, and doing it. God tells you when to eat, how to eat, when to do it, what to do. It's all there for you. All you got to do is comply. You sign a compliance agreement, and you're finished. That's not Judaism. It doesn't end over there. Correct? Isn't Judaism also about questioning? Also about saying, God, I don't understand? Banging on the table and saying, where was God in the Holocaust? Isn't Judaism also about understanding and not just complying? So the problem is, on the night of the Seder, there's so much given to you that you have to do, that a kid can walk away and say, there is none of that. There's only compliance. So what did the sages do? Beautifully. They Davka said, tonight, your treatment of your children is going to be different from all year. All year long, you force them to come to Hebrew school, whether they like it or not. The night of the Seder, you got to stimulate them. So they understand there's room for creativity and questioning within the realm of Judaism. All year long, you don't dare give them treats before dinner, because you've decided for them that dinner is more important than treats. So you'll serve them junk food at other points of the day, but not before dinner. Night of the Seder, give them treats. Make them feel good. Why? They'll ask questions. Everything we do, so they can ask questions. And why specifically ask questions? Why not say, do everything in order for them to do stumble salts? Why questions? Does anyone answer? Of all the things we make or want our kids to do, we wanted to ask questions. Why? Because questions show, I'm not going to take it sitting down. Hey, you're serving matzah now? You're serving maror now? There's no challah on the table tonight? You're dipping this into that? Why? It's ridiculous. Hey, Dad, why are you covering the matzah and uncovering the matzah? I don't understand. It's like a game of soccer. What's the problem with the game of soccer? It's one big joke. Why? If you want the ball, why are you kicking the ball? You ever think about that? No one ever thinks about that. No, can anyone write a doctorate on it? Gentlemen, if you want the ball, why do you kick it? Dad, if you want the matzah, why are you covering the matzah? In olden days, they didn't cover. You know what they did? They took the table away. Because they didn't sit on big dining room tables like us. Each person got like a shtender like this, right? So each person shtender, they took it away. So they say, hey, what happened to the food over there? Oh, you're asking? I'll tell you what happened. And you tell them a little bit about the story of Egypt. They bring back the food. A few minutes later, you do the same thing again. Because questioning shows I'm not going to take it sitting down. So why do we make all these changes on the night of the Seder? To give them a complete picture of what Judaism is. Judaism is definitely about surrendering to the divine will and compliance, but it's also about questioning, inquiring, ensuring that you're not going to just do, but you're going to understand what you're doing. Okay? Great. Let's add one more component to this, and with this we'll end. At the end of the whole Haggadah, before we wash our hands for matzah, we say the words of Rabban Gamliel. Anyone remember them by heart? You don't remember them by heart, Jerry? I'm surprised you say it every year. I'm joking. Old Pesach joke, Jerry. Gentlemen, Rabban Gamliel used to say, if you don't say these three words on Pesach, you didn't fulfill your obligation. What are the three words? Pesach, matzah, Maror. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Then Rabbi Gamliel goes on to explain why we bring the Pesach sacrifice, why we eat Matzah, and why we eat Maror. Why does he have to explain it? Just say, Pesach, Matzah, Maror. What's Pesach all about? Make all the children say in school, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, give them a lollipop and wish them a good junket. Why do we have to explain why you eat the Matzah and the Matzah and the Maror and all that? Because that's part of Judaism too. Not just doing, but understanding why. Not just going ahead and eating, but understanding why you're eating. And I end with the following thought. A monkey can probably do everything you're going to do this year at the Seder. A monkey can eat, and a monkey could recline, and a monkey could also drink wine. And a monkey, you can teach him to dip. A monkey can do everything. What's the difference between you and the monkey at the Seder this year? Based on what I said, I think you know the answer.